Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's podcast, I'll be focusing on Daily Fantasy Basketball for Wednesday's slate of 10 games. To help me with that, I'm joined by DFS guru, Daniel Green, who you can find on Twitter at DanielAGreen1 or at his website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me back. Glad
no
to be
problem.
Here.
No, we're happy to have you. We enjoy the knowledge you bring us and also the excitement. So looking forward to talking to you today. We were talking just pre-show a little bit. Do you want to give us just a quick update on the legal DFS news in New York?
Sure. So
you're at like ground zero, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy how right when we were just talking about this too, about a week ago, I mean, everything was pretty much – everything was fine, right? When we did the show last week, still for New York, you know, just we were talking regular DFS, a regular day, just giving you plays, you know, and it's yeah. So like you said, a lot's changed. I think we did a special podcast on that too, me, you, and Justin last week. But yeah, so to give you a quick summary, New York, the Attorney General last week, you know, sent letters to FanDuel and DraftKings, cease and desist letters, basically giving them 5 days to stop operating and, you know, taking money from New York residents in term. And he also, in that letter, he basically stated that, in his view, the DFS is gambling and therefore illegal.
I was worried about you that day, man. I was wondering if I was going to have to, like, fly out to New York and like, check on you and make sure there weren't any, like, open windows or objects around.
Yeah, just you know, a one bottle of, I think it was Johnny Walker Black, and you know, and then passed right out on my couch. And woke up, hoped it was a nightmare, but it was not. It was reality. But yeah, made it through, luckily.
So yeah, we kind of went through detailedly what happened that day. Why don't you just give us a quick quick update on what has happened since then? I know there's been a few developments.
Yeah, so a few developments, including yesterday and today. So basically, you know, FanDuel and DraftKings are contesting that the Attorney General's decision and his, you know, and his letters.
Letter. They didn't agree with his letter. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. So they, you know, in their view, you know, DFS is a game of skill. And so many people are keep tweeting at me, it's a game of skill. You know, and so there's, you know, the skill versus chance debate. That's obviously at play here, but. You know, what we need to know right now, especially if you're a New York resident, is what you need to know is FanDuel DraftKings are contesting this decision, and they've filed preliminary injunctions. Now, the New York Attorney General has also filed a preliminary injunction. And basically, so what FanDuel and DraftKings are trying to do is they want a judge to say, look, I guess I'll back up even further. So FanDuel and DraftKings are going to take the Attorney General to court, and this is ultimately going to be decided over the span of many, many months, or maybe even a year, and you know, to determine whether or not DFS is a game of skill or is a game of chance. If it's a game of skill, then it probably would be legal in New York. A game of chance, then it would be gambling and it would be illegal. However, the big question is, what do we do in the meantime, right? So, what do we do during the span of these months or a year while this big court case is going on? You know, can New Yorkers, can they play DFS? So that's why, you know, both sides have now, you know, filed a preliminary injunction. That's kind of, you know, if the judge would rule in favor of FanDuel and DraftKings for this preliminary injunction, then New Yorkers could continue to play DFS until the case is decided, is fully decided. And again, that could take months or years. However, if a judge would rule in favor of the Attorney General, that would basically, then the Attorney General could go on his cease and desist letters. Those would go in effect, and New Yorkers would be screwed, and DFS would basically be over to us. The hearing is November 25th. It's unclear when the judge is actually going to rule on that. You know, it can take days, sometimes even weeks. Sometimes they even rule from the bench on that day. So pretty close, though. But, you know, after November 25th, we're going to get a hearing from the judge, and whoever he rules, you know, whichever side he rules in favor of, you know, that's going to determine whether or not DFS is legal for the foreseeable future for New York residents. Now, again, we still are going to have the trial, right? The long drawn out trial. But for the foreseeable future, this, you know, whatever the judge rules for the preliminary injunction, that's going to decide whether New Yorkers can continue to play DFS or not. And lastly, I'll say, currently, until November 25th, New Yorkers can play DFS on DraftKings and sites like DraftPod, but not on FanDuel. And why FanDuel, as me and you were discussing, made the decision to not allow New Yorkers, you know, basically to ban New Yorkers from starting today makes no sense. And to me is kind of an absurd decision by them. And they're trying to protect themselves, but I'm not clear exactly why, because the Attorney General said he's not going to enforce any order before the judge rules on the preliminary injunction hearing on the 25th. So hopefully that made sense. I think I rambled because I'm so frustrated by this, but I don't know.
So there's a chance that your Thanksgiving is ruined, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. There's a very, very real possibility that after November 25th, New York residents will no longer be able to play DFS on any site, in the state. And then I will be coming over to your place.
Just come on over. We'll have some turkey dinner, and then we can play DFS for the rest of the weekend.
I'll be scrambling. So, but even today I scrambled because like FanDuel closed. I mean, as of like 2:30 p.m., FanDuel said, no more DFS for you guys, New York residents. But DraftKings, it was like, you can play with us. So all my lineups I had on FanDuel, I transferred over to DraftKings, and the pricing is different, and just the interfacing is different. So it was an interesting day, man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So do you have any hard feelings towards FanDuel going forward?
No. I did a video earlier today, and I mean, I blame FanDuel and DraftKings for this whole onslaught, right? I mean, they're the ones who took this, this narrow exemption in the law and ran with it, and forced it down everyone's throats, including, politicians' throats, and basically forced every darn attorney general or every state, to look at the legal issue of DFS. And so that's why we're here today. It's because of FanDuel and DraftKings and their greed and their decision to kind of spend $20 million a week in advertising. And here we are. So yeah, am I frustrated with FanDuel and DraftKings behavior? Sure. But at the same time, I love DFS. So it's a weird position to be in.
John Oliver's spot on DraftKings and FanDuel?
Yeah, DFS? Man. Oh, he just killed it. Oh, that was so, man. Yeah. And he was, the thing is he was spot on. I mean, and it's probably, and a lot of DFS players don't want to hear this, especially if you work at, sites being paid by, if you have DraftKings or FanDuel, a sponsor of one of your sites. But a lot of what he said was true, man. And
it really wasn't very much different than what you and Justin were sharing with us. Right. And I don't think it was necessarily negative towards DFS. It was just like, if we're going to make this legal,
let's regulate it.
Do it the right way and let's regulate it.
Right. So again, it's a shame that we're here, and it's a shame that so much negative publicity has been brought on DFS. But let's just hope at the end of the day, we can regulate it, and hopefully, whenever at some point in time, we all can play in it and it's legal in every state, which I think will happen, but it's just a matter of when. And as we've already seen, it's getting messy, and it's messy in New York, and it's messy in a lot of other states. So.
All right. Well, that's kind of a weird backdrop to transition. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up again, Mark. I'm now going to my, I'm out of whiskey. I have to go back to vodka. I mean, geez.
I'm going to have to text you every couple hours to make sure you're still alive.
I know, man. Right. No, but I mean, it's all good. I mean, it's obviously sucks, but I think
you can still play. That's the point, right? You can still play.
Up until the 25th, New York residents, we can still play on DraftKings and some other sites. And then hopefully the judge will rule in favor of DraftKings and FanDuel. And if he does that, then, it'll be open to us on all sites until the case is fully resolved. So, there's still some possibilities that this could end up okay for us. So not all hope is lost.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it then. Like you mentioned, there's a big slate, or maybe I mentioned this. We talked about it at least earlier. There's a slate of 10 games for Wednesday night. That's a pretty good. Do you like when there's a lot of games, or do you prefer there to be sort of a medium amount of games or a few amount of games?
I mean, my wheelhouse would be like 6 to 8 games. I think anytime you get above 8 games, then there's just so many players, so much value, and then it can get a little dicey. So
same reason, I've always enjoyed playing with there's only like 3 games, but maybe that's short-sighted.
Yeah, for three, I'm not, again, like anything under 5 to me, You know, I think it's not as much, it's kind of not as much skill involved. So
that might be why I like doing it.
I say that for you, right? But so, I mean, like, you know, think about it, right? If I'm spending 7 to 8 hours, like the more time that I can research, the more of an advantage I'll have on someone. So really for a smaller, like a 2-3 game slate, everyone has the time to, you know, to research that. So like my advantage of preparing for all those hours is taken away. So, but if you get a slate, you know, tomorrow's okay. Tomorrow's a 10 game slate, which is still okay. You know, and it's actually a beautiful slate if you look at the games. But you know, once you get to like some days on like a Wednesday or Friday, there can be a 12 or 14 or 15 game slate. Those are just madness because there's, you know, there's like 20 good plays at each position. So, yeah.
All right, well, let's do this. We're gonna go through each position. Why don't you give me at least one guy that you really like for each position, and maybe why, you know, kind of defend the case, and then you can just throw out some other options, or I can throw out some other options, and we won't go into detail on each of those guys, but like,
sure.
Yeah, like for point guard, who do you, who's the first guy that you want to talk about, or the guy that you're most excited about?
We got our boy Russell Westbrook at New Orleans, or against, no, I think it's at home, but it's versus New Orleans. Now, we just saw Anthony Davis, you know, go out in the first quarter of today's game that me and you were discussing. So if he's out tomorrow, that might impact the spread. And then I would be worried about an OKC blowout. But as of now, it was a nice spread. This was the highest over-under of the night for tomorrow, 213.5. You know, whenever you're talking Westbrook without Durant, his usage just goes through the roof. I mean, it hits close, I think, over about 30%. I'm all over Westbrook for tomorrow.
Even though, so I'm looking at DraftKings values, salaries. Are you doing the same thing?
Yep, I am. Now I am. I'm banned on FanDuel, man. I can't even. No. What's funny is that, so I went to people were asking me some questions for FanDuel, and then I tried to access FanDuel, and then I couldn't even access the pricing. So it was I'm talking DraftKings pricing right now.
Maybe they didn't like your podcast last time you were on talking about them.
Yeah, honestly, maybe that was it. Yeah. This may be my last podcast.
Yeah, if you get banned by DraftKings tomorrow, you'll know for sure.
Then I have to come with my own site.
Yeah. Well, there's an option. So Russell Westbrook is over 12,000. You're still like, it's no brainer for you.
No brainer for me. Again, like that means he's got to hit about 60 DraftKings points. Look, he averages 57.7 on the year anyway, and again, that's with Durant for most of those games. So I think he crushes value. Like New Orleans is ranked, gives up the most DraftKings points to two point guards as well. So Andrew Holiday's not going to play tomorrow. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, give me Westbrook. You know, I want him in my cash games, lock and load, and I'll have him in a lot of my GPPs too.
Okay. Is there anybody else you want to talk about at point guard?
Yeah, so point guard tomorrow, it's interesting. I like Dame Lillard at 8.8 at Houston. Houston, and this is surprising to me. I don't know if it would be to you as well. I mean, Houston, you think of Houston at least from last year, and you think Patrick Beverley really, you know, lockdown, you know, defender. Houston allows the second most DraftKings points to point guards. So, I mean, look at the difference between Patrick Beverley last year and Tin Man Ty Lawson this year. A pretty big difference, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I love Dame Lillard. His price is 8.8K. Again, 209 over under. That game's supposed to stay close tomorrow because Houston is just struggling so much. So I like Dame. A couple guys in mid-range that I'm looking at, I think Teague's going to be out tomorrow, right? So that means I like Dennis Schroeder again tomorrow at 4.9K. I know he struggled a little bit tonight. I still like him, though, against Sacramento. Rondo can't play any defense. Rondo's playing, you know, 48 minutes a game. You know, he's tired and doesn't have a lot of energy on the defensive end. So, you know, I like Dennis Schroeder a lot. Again, 210 over-under. If I can find a game that's close with a 210 over-under, you know, that means I want a lot of exposure to that game. So I love Dennis.
This is a contrarian play, and you can tell me if I'm stupid. Don't feel bad. No. I'm looking at Ty Lawson at 5,300. He's going against Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Like, we've seen huge games out of him. I know he hasn't fit in well with Houston, but I just can't get over that price for him, I guess. He's cheaper than Ish Smith. And I mean, he's going like the worst defensive point guard in the league.
See, I mean, yeah. See, like Tin Man, and I call him Tin Man because I think he has no heart. But so, I mean, I think Tin Man. You know, if you want to play him in a GPP, I think you could throw him in. But if you look at his, if you're watching the games, or if you look at the game logs, first of all,
I know it's been ugly.
Yeah, I mean, and well, the thing that's most concerning to me is he just doesn't get many shots. I mean, like, James Harden dominates the ball so much. I mean, like Tin Man Lawson just not getting many shots, and he's not getting many assists. I mean, again, Harden is just, he dribbles the ball, for like 20 seconds and then does his thing. It's a lot of ISO ball, which has been surprising watching them. And even when Harden's not in there, I mean, he just looks so bad in that offense. So, like you said, though, I mean, he has the talent, right? And you're just hoping it's going to click. And yeah. And so if you want to throw him in a GPP and you just hope it clicks on the day that you play him. And you know, like you said, it is a contrarian play because he's going to be super low owned. Everyone's forgot about him. Like you just mentioned him, and I have a list right now looking in front of me of 12 point guards. I didn't even list him. Yeah. Like that's how much he's a forgotten man right now. So yeah, I'm totally with you. If you want to throw him in a GPP, you know, he'll be super low owned. And if he goes off in a close game with a high over under, you could make some serious money.
I just think if it's going to happen, it's got to be like, they just had that players meeting. He's been playing poorly. He played pretty well during their wins. Like if you look at how he's done in their wins versus their losses,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of a fairly big disparity. He hasn't had only good games in their wins, but he had some good games when they were winning, you know, in 14 and 11, 16 and 8, 13 and 2. That's not great, but he had some good games. And I just feel like if it's ever going to happen for Ty Lawson in the next month, tomorrow is a perfect setup against that defensive.
I was even reading articles today that, you know, that a lot of people in Houston are calling for his benching, which is concerning. So I'm looking at his game logs.
I don't necessarily think that would be a bad thing for him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't either. So, I just think him and Harden just need to figure it out. Right. Like it's not clicking. It's not working. And I'm not sure, you know, again, like Ty Lawson, typically we saw him in Denver. He needed the ball too. Right. So, Harden's got to relent a little bit on his ball handling abilities. And clearly that's not working for him either. But yeah, so I'm looking at Ty Lawson. Look, I mean, wow, his last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, his last 6 games, he's been under 30 DraftKings points, and that's really what he needs to hit value. So, you know, again, he's got some upside though. He had a game of 44 DraftKings points, so it's possible. You know, right. Again, saying that, you know, in your honor, I will now play him in one lineup tomorrow. But yeah, I'm just not too optimistic. It's if you're watching those games, it's just tough to see. But again,
I just think if you're looking for somebody who's not going to be in a lot of lineups.
Yeah. Agree with you.
Yeah.
Lastly, though, point guard. No, we need to talk about Aaron Brooks.
Okay.
Aaron Brooks stinks. You probably in season long don't want him.
No.
You probably don't talk about him much on the podcast normally, but D Rose is out tomorrow. He's 3.6K Aaron Brooks at Phoenix. Again, Phoenix, they allow the 7th most DraftKings points to point guards. The pace is going to be up and down. So I like, if you want to punt tomorrow point guard, they got to do it with his Aaron Brooks.
Yeah, he was actually the top value play on my list, right? I'm looking at right here.
Yep.
So I'm with you there. All right, let's move on to shooting guard. Tell us about shooting guard. What are you seeing there?
See, normally I loathe shooting guard. And even tomorrow, it's not a, you know, it's never a juicy, you know, kind of position to look at. But one guy, the first guy that stands out to me, I'm going to cross out James Harden. Like for James Harden, I just drew like a sad face with tears. I wish I could show you. Like my notepad has just a face with tears. It doesn't even have like stats or pricing or anything.
So tell us about, I think that's kind of interesting. Why are you down on James Harden?
Oh, he's looked so bad. I mean, he 2 nights ago, he just crushed me again. He's not coming close to hitting value. You know, I think he got about maybe 20, I don't know if he hit 25 DraftKings points 2 nights ago. Let me look what his price is. So his price tomorrow is what? It's got to be over 10,000. Yeah, so it's 10.1K. If you're paying 10.1K for a player, you need that guy to give you, you know, at least 45 DraftKings points. You know, Harden, he's been so volatile this year, which has been shocking. I mean, you know, I think he started the year shooting like, I don't know if it was like less than 20% the first like 3 games of the season. We all thought he would just bounce back. Then he had a couple decent games. But again, like 2 nights ago, he looked horrible. And the whole Houston team looks horrible. So it's just, he's a guy I'm not sure what to do with right now. So to me, that means I'm not playing him in cash games anymore. Until he's consistent for about 2-3 games in a row, I don't want him near my cash lineups. Now, will I still play him in GPPs? Sure. Because again, he's still James Harden, right? He still has the upside to give him 60, 70 DraftKings points.
And he's still going to be guarded by CJ McCollum tomorrow.
Right. So, I mean, again, great matchup, really high over-under. Vegas thinks it's going to be a really close game. So do I want some James Harden exposure? Yeah. But, I mean, there's not a whole lot of analysis I can do. I mean, he's looked miserable. But I don't have a lot of confidence in him. You know, I'll use him probably in, let's say I do 10 lineups. I'd probably throw him in maybe, you know, in three of them if they were GPPs and hope he has a big game. But it's, you know, it's just right now, again, that whole team, you know, it's just utter chaos watching Houston.
Okay. Who are you looking to play?
So my top shooting guard tomorrow is actually, again, it's all because of Derrick Rose, who it'd be interesting. I don't know what your thoughts are on Derrick Rose for season long, but man, I'm just not a D Rose fan at all. I think, you know, he's just not a good fit anymore for that Bulls team, quite honestly. And so without D Rose, oh, I love Jimmy Butler, man. Jimmy Butler's usage rate is going to go through the roof. This is going to be a really nice pace. Normally the Bulls play at a kind of a slower pace. Tomorrow, you know, at Phoenix, the pace is going to be nice and up and down. Over under looking over 200 for the Bulls, which is very rare. So 7.8K, that's a really appealing price. I love Jimmy Butler. I want him. He's a lock for my cash games, and I'm going to use him in a lot of GPPs as well. Normally, I don't play Jimmy Butler in GPPs because I don't think his upside is that great. But without Derrick Rose, he could be taking 25 shots tomorrow, which is beautiful.
Can I give you some metrics here?
Oh, do it. Please do.
Jimmy Butler's – what would you guess Jimmy Butler's usage rate with Derrick Rose off the court is?
Man, it's got to be like 28.
30.
That's if you can give me a – Mark, that's why I love you, man. If you can give me a player hitting a 30% usage rate, I mean, that's lock and load. I mean, that's DFS gold. So, yeah, I mean, wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. Love Jimmy Butler.
Yep, I agree. I think you found a good value there. Let's see. The top guy on my list came out. It was Danny Green.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, like, well, it's like – no, this is funny because I'm with
you. Because he's at 4,200.
Dude, you are preaching to the choir on this one. I've been on him. I play him in one lineup every dang day of the season. Because, again, his price is so low. Like you said, 4.2K. He's a guy capable. I mean, he fills up the stat sheet. I mean, when he actually makes shots and he gets minutes from Popovich. But, I mean, he can score. He can rebound. He gets assists. He can get steals. And he gets blocks. I mean, the dude can do it all. He's a lockdown defender, by the way, which a lot of people don't even realize. But
no, yeah, absolutely.
His price is that low for a reason. I mean, he's been in like a shooting slump for like the last like 2 years, it seems like. It's just amazing with him. I keep playing and praying that he's going to.
Season high in DraftKings points is 24 so far.
Yeah, I mean, and great. You don't need much to get 24 DraftKings points. Like, that's what's so frustrating about him. But he's a guy, like you said, I mean, when your price is 4.2K, his floor, you know, is decent. And his ceiling, if he would just go a game and make like 5 or 6 3-pointers, he would absolutely crush value. So, yeah, again, he's a guy, like we said, like I think last podcast we talked about Gordon Hayward. Like you said, you just brought up Ty Lawson, Danny Green. These are guys with great upside, right? So they're worth a shot if you're playing them in GPPs. Do I want Danny Green, you know, who, by the way, is at Denver tomorrow, or versus Denver tomorrow. Do I want him, you know, in a cash game? Probably not. But, yeah, I mean, again, at that price, I will definitely play him a little bit tomorrow.
Well, I don't want to get into that. Okay.
You got to say it now, man. Yeah. What's on your mind?
Does Gary Harris worry you at all? Like, in my mind, he's a good defender, but I can't say that I've done the research, which is why I was hemming and hawing. I can't say I've done the research to validate if that's true against in DraftKings terms.
Wait, I didn't hear you.
I was saying, yeah, Gary Harris, I believe, is a good real-life defender. But
right.
The reason I'm not sure whether to bring it up or not is because I haven't done the research to tell whether he is a good – he is somebody to avoid in DFS.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to avoid him in DFS, and the main reason for that is he doesn't get enough minutes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, again, we're talking Denver. It's another team with the rotation. You never know, you know, who's going to be getting the minutes, you know, night to night. Some nights they play big, right? And they start JJ Hickson, and they're banged up with injuries too. But, you know, and they start Barton. Other nights, you know, it's just it's you never know, you know, how many minutes Gary Harris is going to get. I think he had a good game actually tonight, but he struggled, you know, this year. And while he's a pretty good defender in real life, again, when you're talking, you know.
Yeah.
Is someone that you know, making it you want to avoid, you know, who he's who he's up against? No, not really. Sadly, Danny Green does that all by himself.
He's going to go off one night, though. He's going to have like 6 3-pointers.
Dude, I totally agree. And it's funny, if a lot of my followers or people who I talk with on Twitter a lot, if they're listening to this, they're going to laugh because they know me. And they're sick of me like saying, like every show that I do, like, throw Danny Green in the lineup, man. He's going to hit one day and we're all going to make a lot of money. Because I'm with you. Yeah, he's got the upside.
All right. Hey, Daniel, I know you like playing daily fantasy.
That is true.
I also know that some days you don't have 8 or 9 hours to do the research.
Also,
so I've got a good alternative for you. One of these days when you don't have enough time or New York kicks you out for doesn't allow you to play daily fantasy anymore, you can come join me on No Halftime. Okay, here's the deal with No Halftime. You pick one player and you can challenge either a public game, which means you can challenge anybody else publicly and they can accept or reject your challenge, or you can challenge me privately or somebody else privately, and you pick a one-on-one matchup. So you only have to like one player. Like, if all you like is Danny Green one night, then that's all you need to worry about. So, you know, you mentioned earlier, like, Anthony Davis goes down with an injury, plays only 6 minutes and ruins your night. In No Halftime. And here's the cool thing about No Halftime. So this was kind of a Weasley of us, but yesterday Tyler and I were saying, maybe you should challenge your buddy who doesn't follow fantasy as closely to like play, you know, try to get them to play somebody who's injured. The No Halftime guys, they don't do anything shady like that. Like, If you end up picking a player who's not going to play that night, you get your money refunded. So you really don't, unless it's a mid-game injury, you don't even have to worry about the injuries. You just pick a player. You pick a player. I pick a player. Like, we could do a Danny Green versus Aaron Brooks tomorrow night. I like Danny Green. You like Aaron Brooks. We go head-to-head.
You know what we should do tomorrow?
What's that?
Honestly, I think we should legitimately do this one. Ish Smith. I will take Ish.
Okay.
You take 10-man Ty Lawson.
Deal.
That's pretty fair, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd do that. We'll post it online and then we'll let the winner gloat on Twitter.
Yeah. No, we should totally do that.
Absolutely. We'll arrange that after the podcast here.
Absolutely.
So all you need is an Apple product of some kind that can download apps. You go download No Halftime app, you enter the code BBALL, that's BBALL, and you'll get a bonus $25. And I'll tell you what, anybody who wants to challenge me on that, who wants to take Ish Smith versus Ty Lawson, feel free. You can challenge me. I'll accept all of those challenges.
Oh, guys, you can jump on that. I'm telling you, Ish Smith, no Drew Holiday, no Anthony Davis. Ish is going to dominate tomorrow.
There you go. You've got it from the DFS guru. I'll take everyone's challenge on that. So go, you can search my username on there, or you can just reach out to me on Twitter and I can send you the challenge that way. We'll do that challenge for tomorrow night. Or excuse me, this goes on Wednesday. So that's for tonight. Don't forget to get on there and do that challenge. And once again, that's No Halftime. That's where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, Daniel, let's get back into small forward.
Let's do it.
Who do you like tomorrow night at small forward?
So small forward, I mean, it's amazing to me, the guy who tops my list here. I mean, Paul George. I mean, wow. Has he recovered fast from that, from the injury he had and from the year off. And just not, I mean, he's basically become, for cash games, put him in, don't worry about it. It's just, I mean, he's become that consistent already. I mean, his price is now, it's rose. I mean, he's up to 9.5K at Philly. So first I was worried about a blowout potential. But Indiana's banged up. I'm not sure if George Hill's going to play tomorrow. So
looks like there's not an over-under for that game yet, at least.
That's the only game that doesn't have an over-under because they're waiting on all the injuries for Indiana. But, you know, Indiana's only a 7-point favorite. I mean, Philly is god-awful. But if that game can stay close – I mean, there's no reason to think Paul George is not going to give me hit value and give me 45 to 50 draft.
Well, and with that banged up Indiana team, like, even if it's not close, isn't the reason it's not close most likely because Paul George went berserk in the first half?
Yep, that's another very good point. And that, I mean, you know, and again, if Indiana's doing well, very high possibility that's because of Paul George. I mean, they need him to do so much these days. And I love him when he plays the four because, again, look at his stats across the board, how they've all went up. He's still not even shooting the ball that well. When he does start to shoot the ball well, man, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if his price, you know, gets close. It's already close to LeBron's price. But it wouldn't surprise me if he gets right around that 10K mark, which is, I mean, that's just superstar territory only. And he's close, man. He's become such a consistency monster in DFS. I mean, I already love playing him, and we're only 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Who else you got?
All right, so after that, man, it's just – small forward is intriguing tomorrow because I'm going to give you a name, Mark.
Okay. I've got a name too. I'm hoping you're going to give me the same guy.
But I just want to give you a name, and I want to do like word association. What's the first thing that pops into your head? Because this guy is just like – it's unbelievable what he's been doing. Evan Fournier.
Oh, well – after Googling his last name, I don't think anything can ever pop in my head besides crotch rot. But
I mean, that is true. I've still yet to Google it. I've had everyone explain it to me. But like what that guy has done, like it's pretty amazing under Scott Skiles.
I think he's leading the league in minutes first.
Yeah, he is. Which is like, God forbid Scott Skiles plays like the guys who have actual talent, like Tobias Harris and Aaron Gordon, but he's given Fournier.
Arizona, man, that's my main guy.
I like that. I like him too, man. And so, but he's given Fournier 40 minutes a game. So that guy, his price is up to 6.5K. Look at the guys who are priced under him: Gordon Hayward, Gallo, Tobias, and the guy that I like tomorrow, Aminu at 6K. Now Aminu's 6K at Houston. Houston gives up the third most DraftKings points to small forwards. It's the third highest over under at 209. It's going to be a really close game. It's going to be up and down. Aminu is the perfect guy for a game like this. He's basically the way I think of Aminu in some ways is like a better, quicker, more versatile version of Corey Brewer. Just a guy who has a nonstop motor. So again, Aminu doesn't even need to score to get a lot of DraftKings points. But tomorrow, I see him filling up that stat sheet and easily hitting value, about giving me about 30, 35 DraftKings points. He was made for a game like that tomorrow. So I love Aminu at 6K and a very reasonable price.
What about as a value play? Let me throw this guy out. You can tell me I'm stupid here too.
Yeah,
Bojan Bogdanovic.
I mean, so he's interesting. He frustrates me because a guy that I want to keep rostering is Hollis Jefferson. Mm-hmm. And it's basically if Hollis Jefferson has a good game, right, then Bogdanovic doesn't play many minutes, doesn't have a good game. But, you know, if Hollis Jefferson is struggling, Bogdanovic then is probably going off and having a good game and hitting it, scoring lots of points, hitting lots of threes. So I like Bogdanovic. If you want to punt, he's a nice punt in GPPs. He's a little too inconsistent for me to play in cash games, but I like him. Because one guy that I have for value, I didn't have Bogdanovic, but I had Hollis Jefferson. Again,
there's our second no draft time.
No doubt. Yeah.
I actually don't think that we can play like guys on the same team. Maybe.
Oh, you can't.
There might be a what's that law that allows daily fantasy sports that you guys talked about? The
UIGEA.
Yeah. There's maybe some restriction in there that doesn't let you play people the same team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at you now. Becoming this expert.
I was giving out recommendations on no halftime that were illegal. So I
right now we're doing the podcast. You're in jail.
The sponsors very kindly informed me that some of the recommendations I was giving people was not within the legal confines of the law. Good to know.
Then we definitely will not do that one. But maybe like
keep score at home.
Yeah. We can do a separate like side bet with no money involved, so we cannot get in trouble by any legal.
Just points.
Yeah, but no, that's intriguing. I mean, that, you know, the Bogdanovic, Hollis Jefferson. I wish, God forbid, again, another coach would just settle on one and just let kind of one play 30 minutes a game. But you know, it's not gonna happen. But another two other guys I want to quickly mention: CJ Miles at 4.3K. If George Hill is out tomorrow. Oh, and also I forgot to mention that shooting guard, Monte Ellis. If George Hill is out, Monte Ellis slides over to the point guard. He played well. I think it was yesterday, and got me about 35 DraftKings points. He becomes a sneaky play at shooting guard. So I like Monte Ellis a lot if George Hill is out. CJ Miles, though, is another guy I like if George Hill is out. And lastly, I want to say Chase Buttinger, 3.1K. Again, there's a lot of, you know, we're taping this like Tuesday night, so who knows who's going to be available. But if, again, if Indiana's still really banged up, Chase Buttinger at 3.1K. He started last game, only got 18 minutes. So if he still starts tomorrow, he's a guy who I've loved for the last like 3 or 4 years. He could, if he just gets minutes, Mark, I'm telling you, that's a guy I like. He could crush value and give me 30, 35 DraftKings points.
I really like your CJ Miles. Looking at him, I would definitely go with him over Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
4,300 versus 4,000. I feel like Philly is a perfect matchup for Bogdanovich. He strikes me as a guy who is going to play really well against Philly. I would imagine he seems like a guy who plays well against the bad teams and not as well against the good teams, which is not great for your real life team. But
Well, and the thing with CJ Miles, right? I mean, he needs shots, and he's not shy about shooting the ball. He's gonna get open looks against a Philly team that doesn't play much defense. So, yeah. And especially on a site like DraftKings where you get a bonus for three pointers, love guys like CJ Miles tomorrow.
And you don't have to worry about efficiency anymore, right? Isn't that the big difference? Doesn't FanDuel dock you a little bit for missed shots?
Yeah. So FanDuel, not for missed shots, but FanDuel like basically does a minus one for turnovers.
Whereas
DraftKings does a negative 0.5.
I was thinking there was some shot component. I guess only played on DraftKings, but I was thinking that you lost some points if they were inefficient.
No, luckily there's none of that. Otherwise, we'd see guys like James Harden, maybe even down to the minimum right now, the way he's shooting.
All right, let's talk about the power forwards here.
All right, and first we will say this, and this is one of the interesting things. If you switch over from sites like from FanDuel to DraftKings, I'm going over all the research for tomorrow's slate. I go click on power forwards, and who's the first name I see? DeMarcus Cousins,
who's a center. He's a center,
right? He's a center on FanDuel, and I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing as a power forward on DraftKings? But hey, if he's gonna be a power forward, he's a guy that I'm gonna play. I play him at any position, quite honestly. So I love DeMarcus Cousins, 10.3K at Atlanta. DeMarcus has given you over 60 DraftKings points the last two games. Surprisingly, Atlanta does not defend the center position very well. And also this over-under really surprised me, 210. That's really high. But I love DeMarcus Cousins. It's pricey, but he's a guy that usually pays off. So I don't mind using him. I'm not sure I'm going to use him in cash games because, again, I think there's other options at power forward that I like as well. But for GPPs, I'll have a lot of exposure to DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah. What's your take on Favors? Because I know he's had a better season generally than people have thought or than people expected. And I know that those couple of games that Rudy Gobert sat out, he kind of went crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, Favors, all of Utah is just an interesting team. It's very hard to kind of play those guys. Right now, Favors has been the only one that's been relatively consistent. And again, we saw a lot of his production come when Gobert was out. So, I mean, I'm not in love with any Utah guys for tomorrow. If there is a couple guys that I'll probably throw Gordon Hayward in a lineup just because he's so cheap. He gets 6.4K less than Evan Fournier now versus That's Toronto. Crazy. It is, So again, and I'll use Derek Favors probably in a lineup or two. He's been relatively consistent, but besides a couple games where I think he had the flu or some type of weird illness. I like Favors and Gobert's another guy when we get to center. I mean, he's priced really low because he has not lived up to expectations so far this year in terms of DFS and I think in real life as well and probably season long too. So Utah for me is really a GPP only play. I don't really play them in cash games because they're just not consistent enough. Again, for me in cash games, I want consistency. If I have to think too much about a player and this is honestly something that I'll do. If I'm looking at a guy and I'm like trying to scratch my hair, scratch my eyes, scratch something on my body, just scratch it. I'm scratching everything. If I'm basically trying to invent a reason to try to play a guy in cash games, that means you shouldn't play him in cash games. For Utah right now, it's just, I can't trust anyone for cash games. So, I like those guys. They all have, guys like Hayward and Favors and Gobert, they all have big upside. But for me, GPP only.
Who's your best value guy?
So value at power forward is not a great system for value. So as low as I'm probably going to go, especially for cash games, the only guy from Houston who's actually looked like an NBA player the last couple of games, Terrence Jones, 6.2K. Again, I love the matchup against Portland. They allow the sixth most DraftKings points to power forwards. In the last three games, he's looked great. 33, 40, and 40 DraftKings points. So that's the kind of, scoring that I'm looking for. So I don't mind using him in cash games, and I'll also load up on him in GPPs. Also, I just want to mention, if Anthony Davis is out tomorrow, Ryan Anderson obviously becomes in play. So that's probably a nice value play. If Anthony Davis is out, that means Ryan Anderson is going to get the start, and he's going to shoot. And that means Eric Gordon is going to be a good play as well. So, again, wait to see if it's fair to call Anthony Davis a tin man. Can we call him that or no? Or maybe I need a new nickname for Anthony Davis.
I'm conflicted a little bit because on one hand I do love Anthony Davis, but yeah, the injuries are concerning. And anytime I've ever said anything disparaging about Anthony Davis, which I always preface with saying how much I love him and think he's probably the best player in the NBA. But anytime I say anything negative, people call me a hater. So, it's starting to get worrisome, man. Like, he's getting harder and harder to rely on each year that he keeps doing this thing where he's hurt so often. And I don't blame him. Like, injuries happen. But when other guys like LeBron played 80 games or 76 games or whatever, most of his games for so many seasons in a row, there is a difference between those type of players.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. And I mean, to make matters worse, though, when he's been healthy this year, and he just hasn't looked right. I mean, again, I don't know what the hell Elvin Gentry is doing offensively to that team, but there doesn't seem to be an offense to me. And Anthony Davis has clearly looked frustrated on the floor. I mean, I think what is their record? Is it 1-8 now or something like that? So, yeah, I mean,
I'm crossing my fingers that they tank somehow and get like Ben Simmons on their team so that we can watch Anthony Davis play with another good player.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is I didn't realize maybe Tyreke Evans is better than we all thought, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was never a fan of him as a player, but I mean, wow. I mean, and also Drew Holiday's out as well. So, I mean, around a 20-minute restrictions playing like, you know, one game of a back-to-back. So, you know, obviously they don't have a lot of talent there. But, clearly Anthony Davis, that's a problem. And even if he is playing tomorrow, not a guy that I'd recommend playing, especially at his price, especially in cash games. You want to throw him in a GBP, go ahead. But, man, we were talking pre-show, him and James Harden have been the two guys that have killed me and most DFS players the most this year. Anthony Davis. Yeah, a little bit. And it's something you don't want to do, especially in DFS land where it's only, you know, each day is a whole separate kind of, you know, a separate whole deal.
It's a whole new season.
Exactly, yeah. That's, you sound just like the commercials. So,
I caught one or two of those commercials earlier this year, actually.
Did you? I mean, that's surprising. let's move on. Oh, lastly, right. Power forward, I want to mention quickly, Nerlens Noel, 6.9K versus Indiana. People think Indiana, and they think, no, I'm staying away, you know, Indiana front court. But remember, this is not the Indiana with David West and Roy Hibbert. You know, this is now Indiana with Luis Scola and Ian Mahimi Nananudsuna, or however the hell you say his name.
Jan Mahimi. And there you go. Just to clarify, I don't care, but somebody will call us on it. Scola is on the Raptors.
Wow, he is. Look at that. So wait, so who's
Wow. Boy, Allen, you got I mean, Paul George is kind of the de facto power forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly a fatal mistake by me. How could I forget that?
Jordan Hill is there. Obviously, before Miles Turner got hurt, he was playing a little bit there.
But again, the same premise, right?
I think your point is very valid in that who is their power forward? We don't even really know.
Right. So if Paul George is Paul George going to play the four or play the three? Whatever. Either way, I want some Nerlens Noel tomorrow, 6.9K. And whoever is up against Luis Scola, I want that guy too. Because Luis Scola cannot play
defense. Derek Favors, man.
Yeah, you're right. Which is a great matchup. I mean, you talk about – I had this conversation on Twitter. Like, who's, like, the slowest guys in the NBA? Like, if you had, like, Gus Gasol race Luis Scola, like, that was a good one. Like, Roy Hibbert, obviously, against anyone. I think Roy Hibbert, he couldn't beat anyone in a foot race, right, in the NBA?
No, I think that's a great
– Yeah, but Scola was up there, man. I mean, that guy, watching him go up and down that court, I mean, it's just painful.
I watched Jared Dudley today, and I wonder if he would. I know he's returning from injury, so maybe that's not fair, but Jared I was wondering Dudley. About whether he was going to make it up and down the court. I actually thought, like, who's the slower, fatter version of Paul Pierce out there? And then I realized it was Jared Dudley and kind of felt bad.
That is, wow, that's a really good observation. Yeah. I mean, I was shocked when I saw him for the first time this year. It looked like he ate himself. Like, it's like there's two Jared Dudleys now. It's just pretty, well, I guess, like you said, he's coming off an injury, I guess, but pretty shocking.
Yeah, but yeah, an injury apparently where he couldn't work out. All right, going on to center here, and then we'll wrap up. Who do you like at center?
All right, so center, normally I would say DeMarcus Cousins, but since some reason DraftKings has him as a power forward, you know, center, surprisingly, there's not any, you know, really expensive options. The most expensive guys are Pau Gasol, again, who's a power forward, but like he's a center on DraftKings, and Dwight Howard, both 7.5K. I like both of them tomorrow. Pau Gasol at Phoenix. The only thing about Pau that worries me is minutes. He struggles to hit 30 minutes now, but I think he's going to get 30 minutes tomorrow in a close game. Phoenix has no one to defend him. What? I don't even know who would be up against Pau. I guess it would be if Markieff Morris is healthy, maybe him, maybe some Plumlee, maybe some Ed Davis is going to guard him. Whoever it is, I love Pau at that price. He's very safe for cash games. Again, I don't think his upside is that great, but I don't mind him for cash games at all. Dwight Howard, other way around. Not safe for cash games, but I love him in GPPs. I love the upside.
What about my man Rudy Gobert, man? He's only at 6,700.
Yeah, another great play against Toronto. You would think that with Valanciunas, they'd be better defensively. And really, the stats have not shown that this year. You know, Gobert, his last game, he finally looked a little better. 38 minutes, 39 DraftKings points. So Gobert's he's a fantastic GPP play at 6.7K. At 7K, he's a guy that could hit like 7-8 times value. So I love that. I love that play too.
What about Tiago Splitter, who moved into the starting lineup for Atlanta today, but only played like 12 minutes?
Oh God, yeah, he killed me because I used him a lot today as a punt at center.
He's still 3,100. Like, that's pretty low for somebody in a starting lineup.
Yeah, again, if he starts tomorrow, I'll use him again tomorrow a little bit. Again, mm-hmm. And you know, the thing about that I like is recency bias, right? So in DFS, recency bias plays a big part. So if a guy burned you one night, you know, people say, or gets to get real stubborn, right? And it's human nature. Oh, I'm not going to play that guy again. But you know, really, that's the time when you should jump on that guy because his ownership is going to be very low. So, you know, the guys who killed us tonight, like Tiago Splitter, I'm going to play a hell of a lot tomorrow. Maybe not a hell of a lot, but I'll play him tomorrow because he's not that
good. Can I ask you about one more guy who's not a center?
Yeah.
And everybody's going to roll their eyes. What about Nikola Mirotic?
Dude, sneaky play. He's a very sneaky play. Started the season off just, you know, on fire. Crushing value. You know, again, his price was around, I think it started the season like 5K. Rose to 6K.
Yeah, it started at 6,400, went up to 6,700 on DraftKings. He's down to 6,100.
Okay, yeah. So, again, he's a guy. I don't think he's cash game playable anymore. And especially now, I'm not sure what Hoiberg is doing with that lineup. He wants to go big. You hear rumors about him wanting to start Joakim Noah and Mirotic going to the bench. But as long as Mirotic is starting, that's a guy who's being overlooked by everyone. His ownership is really low in GPPs. It's a really nice contrarian play. You know, is it safe? You know, maybe not. But again, against Phoenix, they allow a lot of points to opposing small forwards. I like that play a lot tomorrow. It's a sneaky play under the radar.
Can I give you some stats that make me feel better about it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So with Derrick Rose for the last – so this season and last season, his use when they're on the court at the same time, his usage rate is 20% and he shoots 32% from the field. Without Derrick Rose, his usage percentage is 25% and he shoots 42% from the field.
Dude, I mean, let me tell you something, Mark. So what I do on my site – on my website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. I think that's what it's called. It's getting late, man. I don't even know what time it is. But I have something called a sneaky ninja of the day or of the night.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. You know what my sneaky ninja is going to be tomorrow now?
Who's that?
Mirotic.
All right.
Lock and load. Yeah, I mean, like those stats, I mean, that's impressive. And I wasn't even thinking that. You're right. Rose is out tomorrow. So, again, all the Bulls are really in play. You know, Butler, Powell, and Mirotic are all really nice plays. So, with Rose out, again, I'm not entirely sure how many minutes Mirotic is going to get, but he's going to be under-owned, and he's got the upside. And if he shoots, if his usage rate is that high tomorrow, that again, that's what I'm looking for, especially in tournaments. And you need some way to, you know, to kind of separate yourself from the pack, and that he's a guy that could do it. So that's a good call.
All right, man. Anything else we need to talk about?
Let's see. Nah, I was gonna mention like Kelly Olynyk at center, but if we start talking about the Boston front court, I mean that could lead me to drink too, because I mean, dear God, like Brad Stevens in that front court rotation. I mean,
they're gonna make it beg DraftKings to ban you from their site if you start betting on if you start guessing who is gonna be good at the Boston front court.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this: it's funny because like I think we talked about like projections last show. And you know, I do use projections, but one of the hardest things to do is that, like, you have a sheet, right? And there's one of the variables is you fill in yourself. It's the minutes one, right? So, but trying to predict how many minutes like the Boston guys are going to get, it's just, wow. Like throwing a dart at a, you know, whatever.
Yeah. That was my job last year at RotoWire was.
Oh, really?
Predicting each game, how many minutes each player was going to play.
I mean, like, you know, it's if you get a coach like Stevens who's good in real life, but just, I mean, wow, for something like that, it's so hard.
I grew a special hatred for a few coaches, and Stevens was on my list, even though I like him, you know, as a coach.
Give me a quick, like, top five.
Brian Shaw was on there. He is no longer with us.
Oh, the worst. I'm with you. It's horrible.
Scott in L.A. was a challenge.
Yep.
Oh, who else? I haven't done it this year, so it's been like
the Bucks coach, Jay Kidd.
Oh gosh, yes.
Horrible, right? Yeah, horrible.
I can't remember about Lionel Hollins. What's his name in Orlando? Jacques Vaughn was a challenge.
Scott Skiles is not any better, but yes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he just gives all his minutes to Fournier.
Okay, exactly. Yeah, it's basically you lock in Fournier for 40 minutes. Everyone else, you know, no idea.
My favorite coaches was like Tibbs. Yeah, I always knew what he was gonna do.
Yeah, the best. I mean, for DFS, just, you know, yeah, just basically, you know, put your player.
Quinn Snyder was totally easy. He played like exactly the same rotation every single game.
I used to love Terry Stotts too. Stotts used to do that, and now this year he's, you know, he thinks he's like Carlisle, like a mad scientist.
Oh man, I can't imagine Dallas this season would be very easy.
That's, again, you talk about teams, and this is also, I guess, a good tip to everyone listening is when you're making cash game lineups, right? Like I have a list. I'm actually meant to post on my website today, but I got distracted by legal issues again. But I have a list of teams with set rotations and teams with not. And the teams with set rotations, those are really, I only kind of look to that list for my cash game players. If you're on that, you know, that dirty list of coaches with crazy rotations, I just can't count on you for cash games. So it's something that you really got to pay attention to. You know what coaches have consistent rotations and minutes, and which coaches kind of play game by game. It is really important in DFS.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, with that, I think we're going to sign off. Don't forget to go check out our sponsor, Noah Halftime. Once again, use the promo code BBALL. And thanks to Daniel Green for being on our show. Do you want to plug your website one more time, Daniel?
Yeah. So again, website is dgcourtroomdfs.com. Go on there. You know, again, it's what I'm trying to do is kind of make DFS a fun place again, as a kind of, you can kind of figure out from what me and Mark have been talking about and with the last couple of podcasts, all the different legal issues, and there's kind of a lot of negativity around DFS. I'm trying to kind of make it fun again, and that's what my site is kind of built on. So we give you some substance, some good content, but also just make you laugh, make you have a good time, and hopefully entertain you a little bit. So you can go there and check me out. Also, you find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1.
And hopefully you all enjoyed this podcast. Tomorrow we'll be back on with more season-long type news and box scores.
Everyone remember that me and Mark, because I know Mark's going to try to get out of this, Ish Smith versus Ty Lawson. I have Ish Smith. Mark has Ty Lawson for tomorrow.
Absolutely, man. Anybody else can challenge me on that too. No Halftime. We're going to be back with season-long information, news and notes, and box scores tomorrow. So hopefully you like the podcast. If you did and you have a spare minute, please go to your iTunes or your Stitcher, rate and review the podcast, hit subscribe, helps us out a lot. Until tomorrow, we'll hope you have a good time. Talk to you later. Bye.